This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to the second hour of Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And in for Mike today is my friend Alan Vonderhoff. Mike is actually, he's on the ocean right now and he is gone on a big whale watch.
Cool.
Which is pretty cool.
He's from the Midwest.
He is.
I wish, I've never met Mike, but I'd love to talk to him.
Yeah, definitely.
He's from the, what, Ann Arbor area or something?
I think so. Yeah. I think so. And his sister is here visiting from there. And yeah, and they're gone on a couple of day trips. So,
Went on my wife and I went on what was my first whale watch last summer.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you get to see them?
Yeah, kind of. You see mainly the tail. And it was nice out.
Time for a boat ride.
That's the thing with, I think, whale watching, because that's what I said to Mike. I said, well, you know, do they have the reputation that you can, you know, you'll be almost guaranteed to see a whale? And he said that this, where he was going, was in Gloucester.
They know where they are.
Yeah, I guess.
They know. So. It's like, it's not the same thing. When I lived in San Francisco, I went catching sea salmon beyond the Golden Gate Bridge. They know where they are. And that was really a lot of fun.
Did you get to eat them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Got a 25-pound.
Yum.
I gave half of it away.
Wow.
It's so rich.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend at the time, she knew how to prepare it, so that's, you know, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was fun. But they know where that stuff is.
Yum. You are listening to Food for Thought. You can stream us live on the World Wide Web on WTPLFM.com, and it is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime, we'd love for you to give us a call, 866-823-1077. I'm just going to give a little shout-out to some sponsors here. Fallon's Furniture, the official decorator of the Green Room for Food for Thought and Kale & Company. And New England Coffee, we have all these official things, official coffee for Food for Thought. You can check them out at newenglandcoffee.com, as well as Casey's Rib Shack right over on 2nd Street. And Kevin, this week, he says he is so, so busy. He does lots of catering and does them for lots and lots of people. And then this weekend is the Rockin' Rib Fest. So his restaurant is like, I guess, pouring with people all weekend due to the Rockin' Rib Fest. So he's really busy this week. And then as well as Grasshopper's Garden Supply, they're over in New Boston. You can check them out online at grasshoppersgardencenter.com. And our brand new sponsor we want to welcome, Mama McDonough's Irish Pub. They're located in Hillsboro. Come find your Irish side, and you can find them on Facebook. Mama McDonough's, try and say that three times. Oh, my good. Irish Pub. I love a good Irish pub. You know, those are always fun to go to. And let's welcome on our next guest. She is not a stranger to Food for Thought. Let's welcome on Jean Kerr. She's the editor-in-chief of Northeast Flavor Magazine. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's nice to be here again.
Yeah. And so what is new, Jean?
Well, we're working on a special issue for, I think it'll be in the fall, and it's in connection with the New England Inns and Resorts Associations.
Ooh.
So what we're going to do is feature some of the destination chefs, as we call them, that belong to this association. And it's everything from little inns to big resorts and spas. And but so many of them now are food destinations.
Inns are a big deal.
Yes.
They really are.
Yep.
I particularly like inns and bed and breakfasts and,
yeah,
you know, and places like that.
And a lot of our, you know, current ad clients are kind of boutique food destination hotels, small hotel chains with fabulous chefs. So we're going to be profiling the chefs, the property, and providing some recipes. So I think it's going to be fun throughout New England. So
now do you get to like travel around to all these places and check them out first before, you know, you're going to get them into the magazine? I mean, how does that work?
I visit as many as I can. I've been to a number of them already. That I probably won't have the app. They have 270 members, so I'm probably not going to be able to. I'll pick and choose and hope that they'll invite me for a nice meal, which is we'll write for food, you know. So that's our project for now, and yeah, we may have some more exciting news, which I can't really talk about yet. But
so you're going to tease us.
Yes, I am. And I can't say anything till it's a done deal. So anyway, but it's great. We love the magazine. It's just, we have a great time.
It really is it's a gorgeous magazine.
Yeah.
I mean, the pictures.
Thank you.
What were you saying, Alan?
I'm just looking at the section on the martinis.
Figures. He opens up to the martinis.
Well, you know,
gin on top.
It's that is one of the that we've gotten more feedback on that story than almost anything and that was written by my business partner Spencer Smith.
Sure.
And he really goes into this wonderful riff about publishing and back in the days in New York and the three martini lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And
I saw that.
Yes, and it's. It doesn't happen anymore. And I met him at a time when I was party to a few of those lunches, which, you know, you never, ever schedule anything after lunch, that's for sure. But these were like these old, you know, war horses of the publishing world. And I'm kind of I'm very happy that I got to sort of experience that.
Mm-hmm.
So I never was able to do three, by the way.
Man,
two
I,
was my max.
I have two, and my wife notices.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
yes, yeah. One does. It's, you know, the problem is that two is a little too much. One's not quite enough.
It's true. It is true. I'll start with that. I'll sometimes start with a martini, and then I'll go to wine.
Yeah, that's usually my MO, too.
Yeah, when I do the two martinis, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, well, yeah, I get chatty. And I'm already pretty chatty.
And then I was in third grade.
Right. Exactly. Although I have to say, a gimlet is one of my favorite summertime drinks. And it's the old style gimlet is
vodka, right?
Vodka and Rose's lime juice with a squeeze of fresh lime juice. A lot of people look down on the Rose's because it's sweet, but I like a little bit of sweetness in the gimlet. It's such a great summer drink.
And is it served like a martini?
Yeah, or you can have it up or, right.
or
rocks.
On the rocks.
Yeah, but it's so refreshing and summery.
Now, how about gin? Do you like gin?
That's my martini.
It is. That's Tangerine. Right. It was in the opening part of your.
Yeah, I drink gin, Tanqueray gin. Well, that's more old school.
Yeah.
But no vermouth with a twist. That's it.
A little vermouth or no vermouth?
None.
Okay. Nah. I have friends who just have it's like a little perfume spritzer, and that's what they do for their vermouth.
And that's all I taste. That's all I taste. And like if they put an olive in by accident, that's all I taste.
It is, yeah.
You're a purist, real purist. You know, I've seen bartenders sometimes when they'll put the vermouth in and then they'll fling it over their shoulder. So it kind of just coats it a little
bit. Coats it a little bit.
Yeah.
Really?
I've seen that before.
I haven't seen that.
I have.
Funny about it. Yeah.
I haven't seen it at the Copper Door.
No,
but
I haven't either.
I don't remember where I saw it, but I know I saw it somewhere.
Knowing some of the bartenders over there, they let it go, slip out of their hand, probably.
But oh, yeah, right.
I'm only kidding. I love the Copper Door. So.
I know, I do too. Do you like the Copper Door?
I do.
Yeah, I live right near it, so it's really bad.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's dangerous.
It is very dangerous.
Yeah.
It is. But, you know, look at Manchester, you know, how far it's come for, you know, dining.
Oh, it's amazing.
It really is. They're saying Portsmouth now is going to be like.
It's already up and coming.
And
insane.
And that's why I asked our previous guest if he ever makes it out to Portsmouth. So much is happening out
there. It's crazy. And tonight we have the party for the Spotlight Awards, which is sponsored by Seacoast Online. And it's a lot of that is for artists, sculptors, but there is also a best chef. And that will be. We're going to be awarding that tonight. I'm on the jury for the best chef. And Evan Hennessy of Stages at One Washington is this year's winner.
Is he?
Yes.
He is so awesome.
Yeah.
He's been on Food for Thought before.
Yeah, he's great. And he's there. My two Evans, the Evan Mallett, who owns the Black Trumpet. And then
Black Trumpet in Portsmouth.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think he was our first Spotlight Award winner. But we have a People's Choice now, and that goes to Jethro Leuchel, who's the head chef at Massimo's.
All right.
And he's just amazing. He's absolutely amazing.
Have you been to Stages?
No.
You have to go to Stages with your wife.
All
right. You have to. You've been? Have you been to Stages, Jean?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it is so good.
Yeah.
It you would love it, Alan. You sit up at the, it's called At the Kitchen Table. You make reservations.
Right.
And it is like a tall, you know, counter, kind of,
mm-hmm.
and it overlooks, it's like you are watching a play and you're watching them prepare your meals.
Neat.
It is so cool. And it's only seats for, I think, 8.
Yeah.
It might be 8 or 10.
It's tiny, but that's, you know, that's
and that is it.
And Dover, who knew? I mean, that mill building is kind of
amazing.
In Dover?
It's in Dover. And, okay. and like she said, it's in a mill building. It's like up on the second or the third floor.
Right.
And it's kind of strange when you're walking to it because we're like, where are
I've
we
I've gotten lost in that
going?
Building.
Yeah, it's kind of strange.
But Terracotta Pasta makes their pasta there.
Yes.
It's like this
all kinds of funky little things
secret
in there.
Address, yeah.
And then you go in and it is cool. And we you can choose from either, I believe it was a 4-course or a 10-course.
Ooh.
And we're with another couple. And I did the 4-course and Daryl did the 10-course. So we kind of, you know, kind of mixed it a little bit. And it was Chef Evan with his sous chef. And they hardly talked. And you should see them work together. It was just amazing. It was like watching a show. It was really cool.
When we were talking on the break, I moved here in 2006 from Scottsdale. I actually wasn't moving here. I was here on business and never intended to stay here. But having lived in San Francisco, being in Scottsdale, more high-end areas, when I came to the Manchester area, I thought, oh, there's really
it's
nothing
the food,
around here.
Food desert.
And I ended up staying, got married. And it's really improved the Manchester area, Portsmouth, like you just said. It's just moving all over, and it's great to have
it's
options. You got Tuscan out by Hampton. And so you got a lot of nice options.
And, you know, one of my favorite people, Jeff Page down at Cotton, is just, you know, and he's been doing this farm-to-table stuff long before,
time.
You know, and really worked hard to improve that that methodology of cooking. So
and his books he's written, you know, cookbooks.
Yeah, they have a cocktail cookbook.
Yeah.
And when we first launched the magazine, we did 2 events, one in Portsmouth, and Jeff and Peaches hosted one at Cotton, which was a brunch, and all the proceeds from both events went to the New Hampshire Food Bank.
Nice.
So, and they were really wonderful to help us sponsor that.
They do lots of community, you know, community events.
Very
as a matter of fact, I'm sure that they're in the Best of New Hampshire party tonight. It's like the biggest party of the year being held this year. They changed venue. It's over at the Fisher Cat Stadium.
Yeah, Delta.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Which is really exciting. That starts at 5:30, I believe, 5:30 to 8, and there'll be over 60 restaurant vendors there that you taste the food, and all the proceeds to that go to the New Hampshire Food Bank.
I wish I could make it, but we're busy giving out our Spotlight Awards. So, have you guys been to Massimo's?
I haven't.
No, I haven't.
Where is it?
It's in Portsmouth. It's on a side street. I'm trying to think of the name of the...
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Because I'm familiar with it, but I've not been there.
And they just opened a beautiful sort of small plates bar.
I love that.
Because the downstairs is so elegant and so sort of white linen.
Is it on the water?
No, it's not.
And
but
I'm thinking of something else.
I highly recommend it because Massimo Morgia, the owner, is just the most gracious person. And this is, you know, he's just the host with the most. And he's got Jethro, his amazing chef, to go along with it, but really worth a trip. But Portsmouth is, you know, people are always saying, where should we eat?
I'm like, oh my gosh, if somebody says that about Portsmouth.
What are you in the mood for?
Right.
You know? And you've probably heard the statistics that there are more restaurant seats in Portsmouth than the population of Portsmouth.
You're kidding.
No.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I'm told. And I new restaurants keep opening, and it's just, we're spoiled for choice, for sure.
Yeah, we are. We definitely are. You know, Mike and I interviewed, I'm pretty sure his name, Adam Richman from the Food Network, the one that does those, you know, crazy, eats lots of food and does all those competitions.
Uh-huh.
And his favorite place is the Black Trumpet.
Yeah,
in Portsmouth.
It's wonderful. And they just opened a spice shop next door to the Black Trumpet, because Evan Mallett is known for his sort of exotic spices, because he and his family traveled throughout the world, you know, think great stuff like, you know, sumac or smoked paprika or whatever it is. And Evan was ordering them in such quantities, and he wanted to make them available to customers. And that's down on Surrey Street. And he's also, I don't know if he's, they were planning to sell some of his stocks and soup bases. But I'll tell you, when you walk in the door of this place, the aromas you're getting are just crazy good. Crazy good. So, and it's fun because it's hard to find. It's so important if you're going to cook with spices and that they're fresh, and this allows you to buy small quantities.
Right.
So, I think it's called Stock and Spice.
Check it out.
But
yeah,
right next door.
Definitely.
Right next door.
Yeah. Definitely. So. And you know, Portsmouth isn't, it's not a far drive. You know.
No, it's not.
You know, so.
Yeah.
You're listening
minutes.
To Food for Thought, and we are in studio with Jean Kirsch. She's the editor-in-chief of Northeast Flavor Magazine. And in for Mike today is my friend Alan Vonderhoff. And we are going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
I just love just sitting around chatting about food. It's
I know,
so fun.
I can, yeah, you
right?
should, in our office, it gets a little out of control.
I bet it
you know,
does.
Like, and we're hungry all the time. That's, that's
well,
always the joke.
Did you happen to maybe hear, I don't know if you had us on the radio in your car, but before you, the guest was Joe Ross, and he is a professional mystery diner.
Really? What a
yeah.
cool job.
I mean, he goes and out to eat all the time, and he gets paid for
right.
it.
Who does? Do you know who he works?
I he mean, said this that is he works for many companies.
Many companies.
I know the local one around here is Goodwin.
Yeah.
Goodwin Hospitality, I think, is the name of it.
But he applies for only certain ones. So
yeah.
if it interests him, it's not a like, then he applies for it.
Yeah.
So.
Because they do like, I mean, you can mystery shop gas stations and banks and. But I think he kind of sticks,
restaurant sales
sticks to
way
the restaurants
better.
And some high-end ones. And
way
but some
better.
Of his stories were quite funny. It was kind of it was pretty cool.
Have you read Ruth Reichel's book? Think it's the one where she has a small child at home and she's always in disguise when she's going
out to
eat. And it's quite remarkable.
What is the name of that book? That's, I love that book. Oh, she
garlic
has
garlic and sapphires.
She, yes.
Yeah,
I think garlic and sapphires. I think that's what it
is.
Isn't she slurping spaghetti?
Something
or
like that.
Something
and
like
she
that.
And she it's keeps funny. Dressing up like her mother used to dress, and her child is getting more and more confused. Mommy,
yes.
mommy, why do you always wear a costume?
And the father,
when you go
the husband's
you?
Like, what the heck?
What
oh
the?
My gosh. Funny. Funny.
Yeah, but you know, I guess to be truly objective, you have to be sort of under the radar, which is not usually the case. When I get invited, because they know I'm coming.
Right.
But on the other hand, I do always ask chefs to not make anything that wouldn't be available to any consumer,
right.
you know, because
right.
I can't get a feel for what they're doing.
Exactly.
If it's a special menu or a special right. item. But
that's like even, you know, I mean, not to compare the diners to any of these fancy places. You know, when I go into the diner and they see me,
yeah.
you know, and especially
yeah.
if I come into the front door
yeah.
and, you know, I'm like, do not tell them it's for me. Like, I want to see how it's going
right.
to come out. You know what I mean? Because, you know, they're like, Carol's here. This is Carol's order. Like,
right.
I don't do that.
Shape up.
I want it to. Yeah.
yeah.
They probably do that when they see my car coming
yeah,
into
busy.
The trash.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, but anyway. So.
Well, I had an interesting experience. Yes, well, it's interesting to me, and I guess if you like food, it's sort of interesting. In my favorite local fish market, there was a lobster. Probably he will eventually be a couple of pounds, but this had just shed, and they're very dormant right after they shed. They usually head for the you know the rocks to keep away from the bigger fish because they're tasty little morsels for. Fish when they, but the shell, when you push on it, it was like the, like a freezer bag. That's how thin it was.
Yes.
You just, it's.
And aren't they more,
really?
Aren't they more colorful after they shed their shell?
Well, I was surprised because I thought they would be lighter colored, but this right. one was dark.
It was.
Like
okay.
a hard shell, but it was, in all these years of living in Maine and writing about seafood, I'd never actually. You know,
I had never really seen that. I've never seen
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they had the shell that had molted
yeah.
on the windowsill, and there was this poor little squishy lobster shell there.
Oh, poor thing.
But, you know, that put me in mind of the thing. One of the things I like seasonally most, soft shell crab. I don't know.
I do like soft shell
you
crab.
You do?
I
had it some time ago at Hooked. They had a special on that. It was outstanding.
Yeah, it's just so good.
It's really good.
It's so strange to me.
It is just, very strange.
You know, I had it once, and I really liked it. Like you just said, you had it. And when I see it, and it is seasonal. Isn't it seasonal like right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I think it's, yeah, it's sort of May and June.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So maybe it's coming to the end, sort of?
I think so. Well, at least down in the Chesapeake, but I think people are still shipping them up here. And, yeah.
But I, for some reason, I don't know. It's just strange when you're biting into the whole thing and
it's
crunching,
very,
but
very
it is
weird.
Good.
Yeah.
You know?
I actually, as a learning experience, which I don't think I'll repeat, went into another favorite of my fish markets and I said, show me how to dress these things for cooking.
Uh-oh.
And it's, you know, it's not hard, but it's it involves cutting off parts of them. And I just prefer, I think, to have them dress them for me and go home and cook them. I mean, I know how to do it now, but I don't have to do it again.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, Daryl and I did lobster this weekend, and lobster, and we got a couple of king crab legs, and
nice.
I cannot put the lobster in the pot. I just can't do it.
Really?
I can't. I just can't.
I once convinced a friend of mine from Mississippi that they scream when you put them in there.
Well, they do kind of whistle sometimes.
Sorry.
I can't.
They're related to, you know, their central nervous system is so primitive that it's really, my first cookbook, Mystic Seafood, I wrote about their nervous system.
I wish the listeners could have seen the look on Carol's face right now.
It was priceless.
It was
she's
really
looking at me like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm sorry. I got everything all ready, and I'm like, Daryl, get over here. You got to put the lobster
hearted
in. I just can't do it. But anyway, do you like lobster? Which do you prefer, lobster or king crab legs?
I have to say lobster, just because I'm a Mainer originally.
See, I like both. Alan, what about you?
I would say lobster. Lobster. Yeah.
See, to me, the king crab legs is so much easier.
It's true.
To get at.
Yeah.
I mean, I just take my scissors and you just cut it and you take out this nice huge hunk of meat and it's done.
Yeah.
I mean, my boyfriend is like the lobster eater of America. You should see him.
Daryl is not good.
No, he eats every single part of it.
Wow.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Those little legs, those little tiny stupid legs. He's
my
like,
mom's like that.
Like,
our creative director is like that. They walk into the lobster pan and sit down.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They just push their sleeves up and it's like, get the glasses on. And we're just down to every little
dissect
bit of the body.
The whole entire thing. Do you know even the tail? You know, like where the tail is, and they have like those little
Fins. Yeah, there's
the little fins. He was sucking the fins.
I don't have the patience.
Me neither. For as little piece of a meat that you get,
that's why crab cakes are so wonderful.
That's true. That's really
true. Nothing like a really good crab cake with a nice sauce on it.
You know,
I agree.
That is one thing I do not like.
Really?
Crab meat?
Crab meat. Yeah. Maybe because I just haven't found a good crab cake.
There are a lot of lousy ones out there.
Breaded, fried.
My wife Nancy and I had our first date, and we went to the seafood festival out in Hampton. I didn't know any better. And I got some crab cakes that they looked like potato pancakes, first of all.
Yeah.
They were just laden with green peppers, and I had maybe two bites, and I just threw it away. It was truly awful.
Yeah, because I mean, the ultimate crab cake, like they would have in like Baltimore or down in the Chesapeake, is just that beautiful chunky crab meat with hardly anything added, and not fried, not breaded, not adulterated in all kinds of ways. And I think you'd probably love those because they're pure crab meat, virtually just a few little things to bind them together.
That's, I guess, to me, how it should be, for sure.
Yeah.
Although, you know what? I do take it back. We just did there was a Made in New Hampshire Expo at the Radisson, and the Red Arrow was in it.
Oh.
And Daryl and I worked it, and Common Man is there every year. And they serve their Caesar salad with a crab cake on it. And I
that was
isn't
good.
That kind of a neat combination?
Yeah, that
Caesar
is.
Caesar salad with crab cake on it?
It is.
That was, it was very, I take it back. I do remember having that one, and it was good.
And it was good.
Have you ever had crab cake Benedict?
Oh,
oh,
God.
That's like a huge seller at the diner.
Oh,
is
huge,
it?
But I haven't
I
had it.
I didn't know you had it.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Ultimate brunch.
Yeah.
Ultimate brunch.
We have a million different kinds of Eggs Benedict at the diner. Okay. You name it, pork pie Eggs Benny.
Oh, my goodness.
People go crazy over that. Yeah.
And I'm embarrassed to say I've never eaten at one of your places. But...
Mm-mm.
It's time.
We've been out at Milford. The one in Milford. The one here, I'm not up that late, and that's when everybody goes there. I think we tried once or twice, and we couldn't get in. It was so crowded. So, but we have been out in Milford.
Have you tried the new one in Londonderry?
No, never yet.
Gorgeous. So pretty.
Maybe I should try that one.
It's very
first.
Pretty.
Very nice.
I mean, they all serve
quite
the same
an operation.
Food
yeah.
All,
yeah.
You know, 24 hours, but yeah, it's brand new, so it's
oh, fun.
It's pretty nice. Beautiful red counter.
Nice.
You've been a busy lady.
I am a busy lady, but that's all right. It keeps me, you know, keeps me going.
Good.
Having a good time. So what else is new, guys?
What are these cards?
These are, I know that you guys have a trivia section on your website. And a friend of mine gave these to me. Some, they're foodie flashcards. And they have, the one I'm looking at is Amuse-Bouche, which we... Maybe one of your readers wants to dial in and tell us what Amuse-Bouche is.
Yeah, listeners out there, do you know what Amuse-Bouche? 866-823-1077. That's like you hear about that more and more now, it seems.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. It's a very retro French,
yeah,
obviously, term.
Yeah. But, I'm reading right now Crudo. Have you heard of Crudo, Alan?
No. Yeah. And I want to say Crudo.
Well, I'm glad that Carol was reading that one.
Well, it does have the proper way to pronounce it on the back.
Okay. Ah,
so,
okay.
But I don't think I would have said crudo. Crudo is any kind of raw fish dish. So, I mean, like, why wouldn't it be called sushi then?
Well, I think it's an Italian term.
Oh, dressed with oil, citrus acid, spice, and salt.
So Mediterranean. Kind of, if you're going to be
actually,
serving
raw
fish.
Actually, it says sea also. Tartar, sashimi, carpaccio, sushi, raw food. Okay,
yeah.
So yeah, crudo. Interesting. Amuse-Bouche, 866-823-1077.
Let's see.
Foodie, an amateur of the food and drink industry, marked by a keen interest in the consumption, study, and preparation of food. Frequently viewed as having an obsessive relationship to food and drink culture.
I don't know anybody like that.
Yeah, I know, right? There's no one sitting in this room that might be like that. Now, I never heard of this. A toque.
Toque.
A brimless starched hat worn by professional chefs and cooks, often with 100 pleats and a varying height to denote a cook's rank. Oh, so
that's the
chef hat.
That's the big white hat. Yeah. And that's a sort of old sort of...
That's the Chef Boyardee hat.
Yes. Probably at CIA, they wouldn't approve of that analogy.
No.
But it's interesting. It's the classical, you know, classic kind of French chef wear. It's very
Toque.
Great Scrabble word also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
with 100 pleats.
It can be. And that's a indication of the expertise or the experience of the chef.
The more pleats, the better.
Yeah. Do you guys know Steve James, who's part of the Galley Hatch, John Tenio's group? But he just they opened Popovers in Epping.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Is the Popovers in Portsmouth. And he ran the Balsams culinary program for many years. And he always said to me, you know, it'll take you 3 years to make you a chef, but it takes 5 minutes to look like one. So wear the right stuff. Wear your toque, wear your whites, you know.
There you go.
So.
Oh, nice. So listeners, Amuse-Bouche. Do you know what that means?
866- Somebody must know.
823-1077. Give us a call. And we need to go on a break. And Jean, I want to thank you so much for coming on Food for Thought with us.
Thank you. It's always
fun. Yeah, very, very nice coming on. And listeners out there, she's the editor-in-chief of Northeast Flavor Magazine. And where can people find this magazine?
A subscription is best, but right now we're kind of working on the special issue that I mentioned. But we have a lot of fun stuff on our Facebook page, so come join the discussion. We have about 7,200.
When are you having your big announcement?
I hope it'll be within by the end of the month, mid-July.
Okay, for that.
So listeners, in the meantime, you can go to northeastflavor.com and you can learn more about Northeast Flavor Magazine.
And we do a lot of fun quizzes and discussions on our Facebook page, so join us there.
All right, good. Thank you.
Thank you. You're
listening to Food for Thought. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And in for Mike today is my friend Alan Vonderhoff. Mike is he's out on an ocean somewhere. He's whale watching with his family. They're visiting from Michigan. So yeah,
leaning over the edge.
Yeah. I hope that at least they're spotting some whales, you know. I hope that. Anyway.
It's not the best day to be out there doing that. At least it's warmer.
Wasn't it supposed to be nice today, though, thought I heard?
No, when we get out of here, it might be raining. Oh. I don't know if it is yet. I have my umbrella. I'm prepared.
There you go. Alan's prepared. Well, let's welcome on our next guest, Julie Barron, President and CEO of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire. They grant wishes to children with life-threatening illnesses. You can check them out on the web at newhampshire.wish.org. And we love talking to you every week. So what is happening upstairs?
Upstairs this morning, it's all about pools. We're working on 3 pool wishes right now.
Pools?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? 'Tis the season, I guess,
absolutely. So it's all about electricians and contractors and different types of pools and whether we need stairs and what kind of liners and propane and gravel rock. And
I was
up and out of my house this morning at, 6:15, cruising down 93 to get to Brookline to look at a site where we're putting in a pool for a young lady and meeting the electrician there. So we do everything.
So you guys, you even meet your contractors and stuff. I mean, you guys are the ones that
try
set
to.
Everything up.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because we want to, make sure that it's a great experience for the family. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't.
Right.
Happened to be a new contractor, new vendor this morning. So, you want to make sure you meet them, say hi. It's also a really good opportunity to look at the lay of the land and, make sure we know how much site work is going to be done before the pool arrives, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
Now, do you tend to use sometimes the same contractors from time to time?
We do. We have, a couple of, vendors that we work with pretty regularly and try to spread it out a little bit because they get really busy this time of year.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. Especially the pool people.
Oh, yes.
My goodness.
Yeah.
My goodness. So what else is happening upstairs at Make-A-Wish? You always have just such fun things.
So this is the wish I'm excited about. Okay, so we got a wish in yesterday. A couple of wish granters went out and visited him. He wants to be a magician.
Oh, my.
So we're planning
something.
Yeah, we're planning a big debut for him. So we're working right now. So if anybody knows any magicians that might like to help out, because we're going to, we would set up something kind of all summer, to get him trained to learn how to be a magician. And then we're thinking at the Opera House, because he's out in the Rochester area out there, we would do a big debut. We're thinking of, right at the end of August, where he can, show all the things that he's learned how to do and have a big premiere. And yeah, so that's going to be really, really exciting. So he said to his wish granters that he wanted to make a $20 bill disappear and reappear. And we're thinking, $20, he'd ask for, to make a $20 disappear and reappear as $100. Or pile of money. I don't know. But, so that's going to be a really fun wish.
That is so cool. You know, Alan, whenever I picture Julie upstairs, because she's always, see how she is? She's so happy and, you know, just always excited.
It's always fun.
I think of them upstairs when I think of the whole Make-A-Wish staff. I think of them all with little wands, just granting all these wishes. It's like so cool.
I would imagine it's not always the same thing. Nothing's routine, I would imagine.
Nothing is routine.
Right.
You know, I mean, no matter, you know, because it's really up to the child's imagination.
Right.
And even though some people think, well, you know, for instance, a pool wish, not every pool wish is the same because there are different nuances to it, depending on what the child needs, you know, what the family's like, what the site's like, you know, so there are all kinds of different pieces to it all the time, depending on what the wish is. And we're working on a play area too, like we've got a treehouse going too. That was fun. So that was yesterday. We were working on the treehouse. They're all so different.
Right. Like you get the calls.
Yeah.
And, okay. Well, no, actually it must be the wish granters.
So the wish granters, they go out and they visit with the child and they sit down with them and they try to figure out what that child's heartfelt wish is, you know, what that experience, event or thing is that, you know, really gets them excited. And then they bring that information back to the office and we all work together bring it to life.
Yeah. You ever use an outside source like Angie's List or anything like somebody like that, that they know how to find certain contractors or some professional service? You ever use that?
We never have, but what a great idea. Yeah.
I see you upstairs in roller skates.
Yeah.
And turning on a dime at any given moment, right?
We do. I'm a little schizophrenic that way. You know, it's like you're jumping all over the place and, you know, yeah.
So, like, when the wish granters leave the child's house and then they get in the car to come back to the office, that must be when they make the call. Like,
right.
Oh, my gosh, this little boy wants to be a magician. So what are we going to do? And it must just be so exciting.
And then, you know, the wheels start turning and you come up with all kinds of different ideas. And, you know, and the wish granters are so great and we do such wonderful training with them that they really get down to why a child wants something. And that makes all the difference in the world, because then you're finding out, you know, what makes that particular wish special for them. And then you're trying to add in those kind of pieces creatively. So, yeah.
Any progress on the little boy? I think it's a boy that wants to go to the moon.
Oh, yes. He has changed his mind. I told
to
Mike
moon.
There. I
that's
told
me.
Mike he changed his
that.
Mind.
No, that's
yeah,
me.
You missed that last week.
That's
yeah,
me.
I know.
I want to go to the moon. What can you do?
I think he's on it. I think he's up to African safari now. I think that's how he changed his
mind. Oh, my.
So it's fun.
He went from the moon to an African safari.
So sometimes the kids know right away what they want, and they never vary. And then sometimes we have the, you know, a child that, you know, tries a couple different things on for size, and they think about it. But, you know, so we get kind of down a row, and they're like, oh, nope, we'd like to do this instead. But it's all good.
Well,
it's
you know what? You're probably kind of happy about that one.
Yeah, yeah. I had no idea. I had absolutely no idea what we were going to do. I think that was just to see if we could get a reaction out of us. You know, and then his second breath was, and I don't want to just go to Houston or, you know, or
Canaveral or something
right,
like that.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Then what the heck? I mean, that's a lot of pressure. Yikes.
That was a lot of pressure. So that was a dodge.
African safari. That's easy.
Yeah, it's like piece of cake. We've got a couple of those, you know. What exactly do you want to do?
Good imagination. Really good imagination.
So listeners out there, you know, you listen to Julie comes down each week and sometimes she brings guests with her or other coworkers with her. And, you know, if you're out there and you want to do something with Make-A-Wish, you can go to their website. Again, it's nh.wish.org. You can give them a call.
Give us a call anytime. 623-9474.
Or you can come by, you can have some lunch at Midtown, you can watch the show, then you can go right upstairs to Make-A-Wish.
Yeah.
They're right here.
You can come
in
upstairs and watch our little wheels turn with imagination of different wishes, chime in with some ideas. Why not? That'd be awesome.
So cool.
And you were mentioning you have a lot coming up. A lot.
We do. Oh, yes. So
right. We
are really, really excited because we've got about 31 wishes in queue right now that we're working on to have done by the end of August. So we are at a pace of a wish every 3 days right now. And it's because of some amazing generosity in the community, and we hope we can keep that up.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
You need to, like, produce them? Like the right. kids
from,
are going
to
go.
From soup to nuts, they're going to be, you know, by 8:31, we'll have granted 31 wishes for June, July, and August.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
But you know what? Now, I mean, does this make sense that this would be a busy time for you because the kids are off from school and that's
yeah,
when you
it
try
is
to
a busy,
get it
busy
in?
Time. So it's, you know, a lot of the wishes, you know, for instance, you know, a couple of the pool wishes, they might have come in earlier in the year, but we couldn't do anything about it. We've got the let's see, a couple of pool wishes. We've got the play area. We've got the treehouse. We have two man caves. I think I've mentioned those before. Those are fun.
No, you hadn't. I just made a she cave in my backyard.
Did you?
I turned my old chicken coop into a she cave. It is so cute. But anyway, we're talking
That's
about
awesome.
The kids.
Yeah.
So they
well,
wanted
might
man
want to find
caves?
Out about that. Yeah. You know, so
Good
one little
them.
Boy wanted, you know, they have a shed in their backyard and he just wanted it transformed into kind of a place of his own where he can go and, you know, hang out and, you know, so that involves electronics and stuff because,
right.
you know, you have to have TVs and stereos
yes.
and cool stuff
you know
to go with that.
Do you know where you can get great ideas for that?
Where?
Pinterest.
Oh.
Punch in man cave, boy cave. Wait till you see what pops up. That's where I got my ideas for mine. Unbelievable.
Oh, wow. What a great idea.
Yeah, really. Seriously. Yeah. It's amazing. You can find anything on Pinterest. I'm brand new to Pinterest. I was like, Pinterest? But it's fun. Alan, thank you so much for coming on and co-hosting with me.
Very pleasure.
You were wonderful, and I appreciate
you.
It very much. And Julie, again, thank you for coming on. We always learn something new about Make-A-Wish every single week, so thank you very much.
Yeah.
And you know, listeners out there, a mousse bouche, it is a one- or two-bite complimentary dish served before a meal. We'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. So up next, Kale and Company. He's in the house with Ella right now. So we'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye.